Have you ever thought about what life was like for Eve, the first mother and woman? If you haven't, consider this. Eve, of course, was a mother, and she had no mom to talk to. She had no mom to learn from. There were, for her, no mom groups to go to. There were no books for her to read. There was no device to pull up Google and ask a mom question. Unless Eve got some guidance from God, you have to conclude that she had to work out several things on her own. Today, since it's Mother's Day, we want to give some attention to Eve. One of the things that, as I think about Eve, I find to be fascinating about her is her name. We just heard Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20 read, and that's an important reference. I want to go back and direct our attention to that for just a minute. If you look at the name Eve, it is a name which means something like life, or some have rendered it as something like live. Genesis 3 and verse 20 says that Eve was given that name because, or for. There was a reason that Eve received this name. The text says that Eve received this name because she was the mother, for she was the mother of all living. Now that's an unusual statement because you don't read about Eve becoming the mother of all living until the very next chapter, Genesis chapter 4. Now some have asked the question, why call Eve the mother of all living in Genesis 3? But she doesn't end up having any children until Genesis chapter 4. Well, the answer to that might lie in what you find elsewhere in the New Testament or the Old Testament. Sometimes God made a promise. And because the promise was so sure, it was so secure, it was so definite, something was spoken as happening prior to it occurring. So in Genesis 3 and verse 20, she is the mother of all living. That may have had a future aspect to it. It did occur. If Eve's name means something like live, that sounds more like a verb than a noun. Certainly when you talk about someone being the giver of life or the mother of all living, that sounds like activity. And that's a good thought for today. It's no secret that today is Mother's Day. As I was thinking about women and activity, I pulled up some information about a lady, a list of one mom, what she thought mothers do. And she came up, her list was 40 points long. I'm not going to share all 40 points, but I'll pull out what I thought were the highlights. This lady, as she looked at her life as a mom, she said, well, I'm a nurse, I'm a referee, chef, cleaning service, personal assistant, life coach, personal stylist, CFO, entertainer, handyman, investigator, travel agent, researcher, bargain hunter, encyclopedia, laundry service, transportation service, lifeguard, and I'm going to end with pet caretaker. Now, a lot of time has passed between Eve and today. So as we look at that period of time, you might think that things have changed a lot, but in many respects, based on what we find with Eve, motherhood in many respects is still the same. I suspect that as we look at now until the end of time, whenever that may come, there will be some aspects of motherhood that still remain unchanged. When you think about Eve, she had a unique role for multiple reasons in Scripture. From what I can tell, Eve was the first one who was approached by the devil. He seems to have started with Eve rather than Adam. As you look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, that's one of the passages that indicates that. That text says that the serpent said unto not people, but the serpent said unto Eve. Why single out Eve? Why seemingly go after her first? Why not start with the man, since God intended the man to be the head of the household? Well, before we give a possible reason, consider another text. This one, of course, from the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Paul said it was the woman who was beguiled, not the man. Now, when we look at the Scriptures, we find, especially from the New Testament, that the devil is a shrewd, very shrewd character. As you think about Satan at this point in human history, from what I can tell, he was a creature who had a limited amount of experience when it came to temptation. Now, he certainly had plenty of opportunities as human history has passed, but if you go back to the time of Adam and Eve, as far as people, no sin has occurred. Whatever happened in heaven with the devil, temptation does not seem to be something that he had a lot of experience with up until this point. You have to, as you look at the New Testament, and you give some consideration to Satan's tactics. Perhaps see him as he's there with Adam and Eve. He may have been like a predator, stalking, watching, considering its prey before it strikes. Even though he may have had limited experience, Satan seems to have had a pretty good idea on how to approach Eve. Satan may have also given some careful consideration as far as how to present the temptation, what to say, what to offer. He certainly was able to present a very clever, a good temptation to Eve in the sense of effective, and it worked. I can't be 100% on this point, but I think that this is at least likely enough to mention as a strong possibility. Satan seems to have looked at Eve as the best target, better than Adam. Now, someone might hear that and think, well, yeah, the devil targeted those women because we know they're weak. Well, I'm not sure that's the view that we want to set forth, because I'm not sure that that's correct. We do know from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 that Peter did describe women as the weaker vessel. But that word weaker in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 does not mean that women are dumb or foolish or puny or something along those lines. In fact, as we look at both the Bible and as we look at our culture, we find that there are some women who are some pretty tough customers. I've known some women in my day and time who were willing to do or engage in some things that men were not willing to do. Rather than see Eve as weak, it seems more consistent to me to look at the text as seeing Eve, at least in the eyes of the devil, as a creature made by God who had some unique and special characteristics. It's not uncommon for us to hear about someone being taken advantage of. And if we look a little more deeply into the story, we get some additional facts. We find that the person, the individual taken advantage of, was taken advantage of. They were subjected to that treatment because they were so good-hearted. You hear in the news, this person was robbed, or this person was cheated, this person was deceived, and they let that happen because they were such a trusting, they were such a good-hearted person. Now imagine, if you will, here is a creature created by God, and the creature has been perfectly designed, the mother of all, remember Genesis 3 and verse 20? The creature has been designed to have a heart, to have an attitude, to have a disposition which is perfectly designed to care for offspring. The heart, the mind. The personality of this creature is open, it is receptive, and it is a personality, it is a mind which is receptive to learning and helping. The emotional nature of this creature is also more receptive and fragile than its counterpart. If you had such a creature, it would make sense to me, and I think to most, that would be a very logical target for the devil to go after and target. The fact that Satan seems to have chosen Eve over Adam is also suggestive of something else. A woman's heart, the heart of a female, can be molded into the image of God so that it is a beautiful heart. Now, that can also happen for men. But when you see it in a lady, it's an especially beautiful thing. A woman who has decided to take her heart and to somehow wrap that around the Word of God and let that be reflected in her day-to-day life with her family and friends anywhere she goes. That heart, that life, that mind in those ways will bless people wherever she is. Well, of course, the devil's not interested in purity. The devil's not interested in godly beauty. And that also made Eve an attractive target. So the devil does target her. He targets her successfully, and he is able to corrupt. He's able to foul Eve's heart. Now, if we're familiar with the story, back there in, about the first few chapters of Genesis chapter 2 and 3 especially, but in Genesis chapter 4, you know the story that Eve succumbed to sin. From a certain perspective, if you've never considered this, I'd like to advance the idea that we, on at least a certain level, can be glad that Eve sinned. Now you might think, now what are you thinking? How could you be glad that anyone possibly sinned, let alone Eve? Well, consider this. I think it's an apt point for Mother's Day. If Eve had remained sinless, and your mom, can you imagine the standard that she would have set? As you look back to the first mom, here is a standard of perfection, a woman who never messed up, a woman who never fouled up, a woman who always got it right, and she didn't have Google. How'd you like to follow that example? Children sometimes ask as they're growing up, why can't you be like that mom down the street? Oh, Johnny's mom does this. Sally's mom does that. Why can't you be like that mom? And then, sometimes unwisely, some husbands have asked their wives, why can't you be like his wife? Eve set a standard of imperfection for moms. So if you're a mom, and as you go through your day-to-day life, and there are some times, and I think this is true for all women, if there are some times in your life where you feel so imperfect, failing in a lot of different ways, I'd suggest that you go back and you think about Eve, the first mom, and the first mom who failed. If that first mom was imperfect, you're going to be imperfect as well. Eve didn't get everything right, and every mom since her has also been imperfect in some ways. Now, someone says, well, what about the men? Not talking about them, but we'll put a little footnote there. They're also imperfect. Adam didn't get it right. And that's been true for every other man who's been accountable for his actions. And what about their kids? Kids also didn't get it right. Eve was not a perfect person by any means, but you know, as you look at her life, you begin to find some very good points. Eve, for example, has been called the first dressmaker. Well, I'm not sure that Eve made a dress, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, you find the Bible says they, well, that's important because Eve was involved, but she also involved her husband. They sewed fig leaves together and made aprons. So here you have the first couple. They realize that they don't have any clothing on, and they decide that they're going to make some clothing. They sewed fig leaves together and tried to make some aprons. I don't know how much work Adam did for that job. I don't know how much Eve did on that job, but at least they were working together to try to come up with something to clothe their bodies. One wonders, as you look at this little detail in the account, one wonders if the couple did not look around, well, what can we use? And, well, that's not going to work, and that's not going to work, but here we've got these fig leaves. And let's see if we can make these work. This is, as we consider this small point in the text, another wonderful lesson for Mother's Day. Consider all the times in life that a mom has to make do. There's some moms, kids are hungry, husband's hungry, she's hungry, goes to the food pantry, and there's not much there. But you know, even though there's not much there, mom says, we'll make do. Mom picks up the checkbook and says, there's not a lot of money in the account. Some of the things that we'd hope to buy this week, can't do it. But mom figures out a way to get by. Mom looks at the clock and says, there's not enough time to accomplish all the things that need to be done or this week, but I'll work it out. There's some cleaning in my house that needs to be done. And once again, we have a time issue. There's not enough time. Mom says, we'll somehow manage. Eve and her husband did the very best that they could under the circumstances. Now, certainly as you look at the Bible, the Bible says that the clothing that they fashioned was unacceptable to God. And once again, as you look at that point, you find something that's relative to moms on this day. It's sad. But there have been some children in the younger years and sometimes even in the later years, they have looked at their mom and said, you failed me. You failed me. You never did enough. Mom, you never gave enough. You never encouraged me enough. Or you failed in some other way. Now, it's true, sad but true, that there are some virtually worthless mothers in the world. But you know something else is true. A lot of mothers are not really worthless. When it comes to being a parent, one of the lessons that it takes a while for people to learn, and sometimes they don't learn it until they are older and they're well into adulthood, but one of the lessons that people finally learn is that being a parent's not easy. Being a mom is not easy. And there are far more mothers that should get an A for effort than not. In fact, at various times in my life, I've thought about a lady, a mom, who has been a mom for 5, 10, 15 years, maybe her kids are raised. Thought about a mom going to a place that's looking for someone as far as a top managerial position. And in that fiction scenario, thought about the mom finally landing an interview. And she goes before the personnel manager, or she goes before one of the other managers, and the person who's interviewing her says, well, okay, glad that you were able to come today. Where'd you go to school? How much experience do you have in the corporate world? Where's your graduate degree from? And the mom looks back, and maybe with a little sadness, she says, well, I have no degree. Certainly I don't have a graduate degree. And I don't have any experience over there in the business world. I was just a mom. Raised a child, raised two kids, raised three kids, how many ever it was. And she says, I manage this household. And remember those tasks that I didn't go through, the whole list earlier, those 40 tasks? Being pulled here and here and here, sometimes it feels like in a dozen different directions. I suspect the corporate world would laugh at that. They don't want a manager with those qualifications. They'd say, well, you're not qualified. We want somebody else. But you know, in truth, if we want to be honest about it, a lot of the work that is done by moms would put some people to shame who are in the corporate world. Days like today are important. Days like today are good. On days like this, it's good to just step back and consider not only what women do, often as moms, but the value of them. When we look at Eve, there are a number of lessons from her life, and here's another one. Mothers, every decent mother wants her kids to succeed. And as you look at Eve, what happened to her? Did all of her children succeed? Well, we don't know how many children she may have had. But you know, we know that she had a wayward son. As you go back and you start reading through the early chapters in Genesis, you don't have to come to a point that's very far into the text to realize that there's a sad story about Cain and Abel. Those who become moms often don't need to wait long before they realize a very great and very sad truth. Some of the best things in the world happen to moms. But also with moms, there are some of the most tragic things that tear, that may even rip out the heart because she's a mom. Being a mom can being a mom can result in some unbelievable heartaches. There have been some moms, several moms, who one day have had their children, perhaps as they're in the household, perhaps they've left the household, and they one day call mom and say, I need to talk to you. And I don't want to tell you what I have to tell you by phone. I want to come to the house. And the conversation usually starts with something like this. Mom, I have something to tell you. And sometimes it's really good news. But oftentimes it's not good news. Sometimes the news is very, very bad. And maybe the adult child now sits down and says, Mom, there's a health problem. I have, and she just fills in the blank, or he fills in the blank. And there have been some other moms who heard that their child made a bad decision. I did this, Mom. I'm going to have to pay a price, a consequence. When you look at the life of Eve, you find that here is a lady, when it goes back to Cain and Abel, she got some bad news. News that just had to tear at her heart in the worst possible way. Moms, since her, have experienced the same kind of thing. Eve received some worst possible news, but as you go back and you look at the Genesis account, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5, you know what we find with Eve? You find that some better and brighter days came. Towards the end of Genesis 4, verse 25 says, And Adam, husband, knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. And then it says, For said she, God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, for Cain slew him. Eve didn't forget about one of her sons, the loss of her firstborn. A mother's memory is sometimes very, very long and very, very good. But as time passed, in spite of that memory, you find that Eve came to the point in life where she said, My life is not over. Not everything is going to be bad news from this point forward. Good can still come from my life in spite of some of the struggles and the challenges and the hardships that I've had. Eve understood the need to keep God as a significant force in her life, to keep her eyes on Him. She did. And after a while, she said, God has blessed me. God has provided me another son. And that new son, the good news, didn't wipe away all the pain. But you know, as you look at Eve, you find something that's a great point. Sometimes that horrific pain can be lessened. That horrific pain can be managed well by some good news. The good news, and there is some with being a mom, the good news can help with the negatives. The first mom not only receives some good news, she has this child, but the good news in Genesis 4 continues. In that very next verse, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, we find, And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. The name of that son was Enosh. And then the Bible says at the end of verse 26, Then began men to call upon the name of Jehovah. Eve, along with receiving that son, began to have some grandkids. Grandkids can be a source of great joy. But that's not all we find in this chapter. The Bible says that these grandchildren were godly grandchildren, began to call upon the name of the Lord. And somebody says, what's it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, this is not call on the name of the Lord and just say, Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart. You don't find that in Scripture, and that's certainly not the meaning here. Calling on the name of the Lord meant that these descendants, these grandchildren, were godly people. They wanted to follow God. There's some women who bring children into the world, and they find that with their children, there is perhaps a long line of people who want to faithfully serve God. There is no better blessing for a mom than having children who faithfully follow Christ. Josephus, you may be familiar with him. He was an historian who lived close to the first century. And you wonder sometimes about where Josephus got some of his stuff. Some of it almost seems made up. But he claims that Eve had several more children. He wrote that Eve had 33 sons and 23 daughters. Now, I don't know where he got that. As far as I know, that might be a complete falsehood. But you know, I do know this much when I look at Eve. I know that she had some children. I know that she was the world's first mother. I know that God honored this woman in some great ways as we start looking at his word. And I can extract from that that God still wants women, mothers or not, to be honored. To let them know that we appreciate them for their work. To remind families that they should appreciate their wives and their mothers. There is nothing better in the world than to be part of a family which is committed, fully committed to Jesus Christ. Today, as we think about moms, we also want to think about that commitment. The commitment to Christ. Not just for the moms, but for each one. As we look at our life, parent, non-parent, someone who's a young adult, are we in a right relationship with Christ? One day we're going to meet him. One day we're going to stand before him. And the question on that day, number one, if you were accountable for your actions, did you become my disciple? And number two, if you did, were you faithful? Today, if we were to meet the Lord through death or he were to return, what's the answer to question number one for us? Have we become his disciple? Someone says, well, I believe and I try to live in the right way. Good, but that's not enough. After belief, after that desire to live according to his will, there has to be that confession, like we read about in Acts chapter 8. And after that man confessed, he said, here is water, I want to be baptized, and he was baptized. For the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. And then he went away rejoicing. Not rejoicing because that was all he had to do, but rejoicing because he had found Christ, the promised one, the Messiah, freed from his sins, and he could live according to the righteous plan that God has given in his word. Have we been buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life, and we're faithfully committed to him each and every day? If not, we'd like to help you do that this morning. If you need assistance in another way that we can pray for you, encourage you, or do anything else, will you let us know what that need may be as we stand and sing the selected song?